Good morning. I'm not Pastor Ed, but I do have a Hawaiian shirt on. So this morning, Pastor Ed has his sermon printed out for you, and I'm going to read it to you. And I'm humbled to be able to do this, because the message that he has written has so much depth and meaning. It meant a lot to me as I was reading through it, and I'm hopeful that I can just impart to you a part of what he has tried to share with you. So we kind of started this morning with our scripture readings about sheep, and the title of this sermon is How Jesus Treats His Sheep. So we're kind of keeping it on that theme. We're looking at Psalm 23 during this sermon series. For those of you who know it, let's say it by memory. For the rest of you, you've got 10 seconds to learn it. Up there on the screens. Now, this is the King James Version, of course. Pastor doesn't read much out of King James, but chapter 23 is the most beautiful in this version. Dan, you can leave it up there for the cheaters. It's okay. So let's begin, and please read with me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Way to go. Good job. Now this morning we're looking specifically at the verse, thy rod and my staff, they comfort me. Here's the thing. Pastor grew up in Minnesota at a time when the saying was common, spare the rod, spoil the child. Was that part of your environment, part of the childhood experience too? Let me just ask you, we can be honest here, right? How many of you were ever spanked or paddled on the backside with a rod? Spare the rod, spoil the child. There's an actual quote from the Bible in Psalm 13:24. But Psalm 23 indicates, thy rod comfort me. It didn't comfort me much growing up, if you get the gist. So what is David saying here? Thy rod and thy staff are two kinds of sticks. So how do these shepherd's sticks bring comfort to us all? What in the world does it mean? It raises all kinds of questions. I need to give you a little bit of background. So, Pastor, he has a rod and a staff. And I'm glad I'm getting this one so I can't be taken off if I do poorly. So these two tools are ancient tools that have been used by shepherds for thousands and thousands of years. This is a defensive tool. This defensive tool was used against predators, against wolves, and anybody who trying to attack a shepherd. So the rod you use on the enemies of the sheep, the staff you use on the sheep. Now I want to explain to you how they were used literally, physically. Just for a second, and how they actually are symbols of the two ways that God wants to work in your life. Let's first talk about what they actually were used for. A rod was used for guarding the sheep. Sheep are essentially defenseless animals. Without a shepherd, they are prey to any kind of predator, wolves or anything like that. Something's got to protect them, and the rod was a defensive tool to fight against predators or enemies or adversaries. Now the staff is a tool of recovery. That's what they're used for, and they've been used that way literally for centuries. So the meaning of these two tools, one, the rod represents power and authority because it says, I'm in charge here, and I've got more power than you, and I'm in control. Which, by the way, in Christian history, for the last 2,000 years of the church, of course, Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. And he had the shepherd's staff. Today you'll see bishops in a lot of different denominations, Catholics, which have a bishop's staff. It's called the crozier. And you will see the bishop walking down, basically, he says, I care for the flock of God, but I'm also the one in authority, and I have authority over the flock of God in this area. It's called the crozier. They've been very elaborate, or they can be very, very simple, like this one. The staff represents care and compassion. Now, what does that mean for you and me? Does it mean when it says, thy rod and thy staff comfort me? This sermon is all about that. And later on, listen to the words the pastor has written for us to understand why this rod will comfort you. Let's first look at what Jesus says. What it says about him in the Bible in Hebrews chapter 13, 20 says this, Jesus is the great shepherd of the sheep. Throughout the Bible, the sheep are the symbol of God's people. The church is called the flock of God. The Bible says we are his sheep. In John 10, 10 through 11, it says, I came so that my sheep will have life. This is Jesus talking. I came that my sheep will have life and everything they need. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life for his flock. The good shepherd gives his life to his sheep. Now, if Jesus is the good shepherd, we need to figure out what that means. How does Jesus treat his sheep? We're going to look at five ways that Jesus wants to treat you if you'll trust him. So we can write these down. And number one, the first thing we learn about God the shepherd, number one, if I bring him my hurt, Jesus shows me compassion. You come to God and say, God, my job's not going so well. Or I need a job. I've got a problem in my marriage. I've got a problem with my children. I retired and now I'm bored silly. God, I'm in pain. I'm weak. I'm depressed. I'm anxious or I'm angry. Or I've been hurt and I've been betrayed by somebody that would have been unfaithful. When I bring in my hurts, Jesus responds, how? He doesn't scold you. He serves you. He doesn't put you down. He lifts you up. He doesn't hassle you. He heals you. Matthew 9:36 says this, when Jesus saw the crowds, his heart was filled with compassion for them because they were hurting and didn't know where to go get help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion means I will do anything I can do to stop your hurt, even if it means dying on the cross, even if it means having nails nailed through my hands and my feet. Now that's compassion. I will do whatever it takes. I will do anything it takes to stop your pain. He came to show compassion. He says, you know, I came to serve and to give. And it is also what it means to follow Jesus. That is what it means to be a true Christian. Giving and serving define our Christian life. If you don't give, if you don't serve, how in the world can you know how to follow Jesus when he says, that's my whole purpose? Life is not about you. It's really all about loving God, loving others, and showing it. After all, was Jesus just thinking about himself when he was nailed to the cross? Did God just send his son on earth to make himself feel better? So when I bring him my hurts, he's not going to come down on me or scold me or intimidate me. He's going to show me compassion because he did that through his ministry. So how does Jesus treat his sheep? Number two, if I choose to follow him, Jesus leads me in the right direction. He becomes my guide through life, or you'll miss the best of life. In John 10:4, Jesus says, the good shepherd walks ahead of his sheep, and they follow him for they recognize his voice. Now notice the phrase, walks ahead. Maybe you want to circle it. The good shepherd walks ahead of his sheep. They follow him. They recognize his voice. In shepherding, the shepherd always goes first. Why? Because he's the model. He's leading by example. Now that's the point. Jesus is not going to push you through your life. He's not going to push you into doing things that you don't want to do, that you're not interested in doing. He's never going to force you to do something you don't want to do. But as a shepherd, he's going to lead the way. He's going to say, watch how I do it. Look where I go. If you follow his lead, oh man, your life's going to be a whole lot easier. A lot fewer problems, a lot less stress. If you'll follow the lead of your shepherd, if you'll bring him your hurts, he shows me compassion. But if I choose to follow him, he says, I will lead you in the right direction. God says, I will lead you with my love, not with my laws. I lead you out of love. That is how the good shepherd leads us. You don't have to be afraid of this leadership within and of your life. Number three, if I get confused and wander off, Jesus brings me back. In Matthew 18:12, he says, if a shepherd, now this is Jesus talking, if a shepherd has 100 sheep and one wanders away and is lost, won't he leave the 99 safe sheep and go search for the lost one? Yes. But why? Because every sheep matters. You matter to God. You individually, personally, matter to God. He says, if I've got 100 sheep, 99 of them are saved and one is lost, I'm going after the unsaved one. I'm going after the lost one. Now follow the logic here. And this is probably very poignant when I was reading this to me. If we weren't lost, Jesus would not have needed to have come. Believe me, if there was any other way for you to get into heaven except through Jesus Christ, God coming and living a perfect life and dying for your sins because he didn't have any other way, don't you think that God would have used it? There was no other way. Jesus says, I came to seek and save that which is lost. Which means the world is lost. Everybody's not going to heaven. If they were, Jesus did not have to come to earth. Let me say it again. The Bible says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are all lost. God says, I'll be the good shepherd, and I'm going to come and seek and save, and I'm going to find you. You may be feeling lost right now. You're going, I haven't the slightest idea of what I'm supposed to do next with my life. Feeling lost, you're lost over what to do with your finances. You feel a little lost over what should I do about my career? Should I stay here? Should I move? Sometimes you don't know. Do I hold on or do I let go? What does God do when you wander off? He disciplines you. Discipline is not punishment. Let me explain the difference. Punishment is when you pay a penalty, and it's usually done in anger. Discipline is the training and correction for the future, and it's always done in love. And so when something goes wrong in your life, something you're going to be tempted to think, this thought, and it's not a thought from God, God is getting even with me right now. God has punished me for something. I did something in the past that's a secret. Wrong. Wrong. Very, very wrong. I want you to listen closely. God never punishes his children. He disciples them. He doesn't punish them. God never punishes those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ for salvation. Why not? Because it was already paid 2,000 years ago. Jesus Christ paid for the sins you haven't committed yet. The Bible says, All of the punishment for your sins was paid for on the cross. If God now punishes you for the sins, that's double punishment. It means Jesus' punishment, who took it on the cross, was not enough. And of course, it was enough. All of the guilt, all the regret, all the shame, all the penalty for your sins was paid by Jesus. Jesus is not going to punish you for something that his son already took. He disciplines, but he's not going to punish you. And on Good Friday, Jesus took all of your punishment. Number four, if I fall or fail, Jesus rescues and recovers me. Like all sheep, we not only wander, we stumble. We've all stumbled. What do you think Jesus does when you fall or when you fail, when you flub up, when you really embarrass yourself, when you do something really evil, wicked, mean, bad, and nasty? How does Jesus Christ respond? Well, let's look at what he says in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 12, 11 and 12 talks about when a sheep stumbles and falls, he says, Jesus said, if any of you that has a sheep and it falls into a pit, so if any of you have a sheep that falls into a pit on the Sabbath, that's the day you're not supposed to work in Jewish law, will you not rescue it and lift it out? How much more valuable is a man than a sheep? Now let me give you an example of this. Let's say you're walking along and you stumble and fall into a ditch. As a matter of fact, let's say it's a pit, 25 feet deep, no way to get out on your own. What do you do when you fall into a major pit? A moral pit, an ethical pit, a pit of depression, a pit of despair. What are you going to do in that pit and you can't get out by yourself? Well, you've got about five major choices. They're called the worldview. So let's look at those. If you're down in a pit and you couldn't get out and you're stuck. So if Buddha walked by, he would look down there and he'd say, you are there because of karma. It's your karma. Karma means that when you deserve what you deserve in life, there's no such thing as innocent suffering in Buddhism. It's karma, and there's no comfort in Buddhism on that. So, okay, what about Muhammad? If Muhammad walked by, he would see you in the pit, and he goes, you are there because you have violated the dignity of Allah. You have broken his commandments. You have disobeyed his rules. You're there because you violated the laws of Allah. Okay, I'm just saying that's the Muslim view of life. If you're in the pit and a Hindu guru comes by, the Hindu guru says, the pit you're in is an illusion. If you can just get to a certain state, you won't feel the pain because you won't think that you're in a pit anymore. And that's essentially Hinduism, and pastors study that extensively. And here's the best one. If you're in a New Age movement, a self-help person, and you're in a New Age coach or self-help coach, they would walk over to you and see you in the pit and say, just believe it and achieve it. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps. What a man can conceive, you can achieve. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. Sorry, that's a whole bunch of nonsense. You can say whatever you believe. No, you can't. And kids in school shouldn't be taught that either. Most of us will never be an opera singer because we don't have the voice for it. It's not going to happen. But, and here's the big but, you can be everything God designed you to be. You're never going to be a Kobe Bryant, rest his soul. No matter how much you practice basketball, that's stinking thinking. It's Pollyanna optimism, which has no basis in reality. I believe in positive thinking. It's far better than negative thinking, but it only works on stuff that you can control. All the positive thinking in the world will not make a circle a square. And here's the thing. Most of the world is out of control because of sin. So you're down there in a pit. Let's go back to the pit. Buddha says karma. Muhammad says it's Allah. Hindu says it's not really a pit. New Age says you're a god. Be anything you want. You're not a god. Come on. It's the oldest lie to man. It's the first lie that Satan told Adam and Eve when he said, Eat this fruit and you'll be a god. It's the oldest lie in the book. You're a god. You're not a god. Well, the divine is in you. No. Christ could be, but you're not a god on your own. All these people you know, it's karma. That's it. Jesus comes by, and here's what he says. Can I give you a hand? He doesn't make an excuse. Can I help you out? That's being called a savior. He doesn't excuse it. He doesn't judge it. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. Can I give you a hand? That's the Savior I serve, and that's the Savior that 2.3 billion people in the world serve. Can I give you a hand? Can I pull you out? That's the salvation that God offers. He says, I want to help you. But you've got to let him in. You're not forced to do it. It's love. God loves you, but he wants you to love him back. He could have made you a puppet like a marionette thing and you pull the strings and you pray for six times a day. That's not love. That's being manipulated. God gave you the freedom to make choices. And remember, the choices you make will remake you. There is always a consequence for your choices. But it's your choice. Are you in a deep pit right now? Jesus says, let me help you out. Are you in need of a new life right now? Jesus says, be born again. This is the good news. When you let Jesus be your shepherd, you're no longer on your own. That's the biggest stress reducer of all. He will guard you. He will guide you. Fifth, lastly, if I trust him to save me, Jesus keeps me saved. We read this morning. Notice in this verse, John 10, 27 and 29, Jesus' word directly. He says, my sheep. He's the good shepherd. My sheep listen to my voice. That's how you know who is a believer and who is not. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. Then he says, I give them eternal life, which starts the moment that you put your hand in his. And they will never die, and no one can steal them out of my hand. My Father gave me my sheep. He is greater than all, and no person can steal the sheep out of my Father's hand. So once you've put your life in the hand of God, there will be times that you might want to pull back and say, I don't even know what I believe, and I doubt. God says, I'm not letting go. He says, you're in God's hand, and no man can pluck you out of God's hand. Your salvation is secure. This is grace, and he will watch over you all of your life. Listen to these words in 2 Peter verse 1 and 3. Jesus has the power of God by which he has given us everything we need. Everything we need to live. Everything we need to live and to serve God. We have these things because we deserve them? No. Because we've promised to be perfect? No. We have these things because we know him. Do you know the Good Shepherd? And this message has given me a completely different perspective on this because I never understood how the rod and the staff could come for me. I understood this one, but I didn't understand this one. And it's because we are disciplined by the staff, not punished. God is guiding our lives when he gives us discipline. So if I can have you all rise and we will do our prayers. Let's bow our heads. We start our prayers by thanking you, Almighty God, loving Savior, that you have received in your kingdom by holy baptism, Harper and Sadie. Keep them ever by you. Cause them to see you as their Lord and Savior, growing in your love every year. So we pray, dear Jesus, I need you to guide me and I need you to guard me like the rod and the staff. I want you to protect me and I want you to direct me like the rod and the staff. I thank you for your power and authority, which can protect me and I thank you for your care and compassion, which you can care for me. I want to bring my hearts to you. I want to follow you. Thank you that you came to earth to seek me and to save me because I was lost. To all those amongst us who may be in a pit right now in need of rescuing, recover them. They may be in a pit of frustration, a pit of discouragement, a financial pit, a pit of depression, a pit of confusion. Rescue us and recover us wherever we are in our spiritual journey. Finally, Jesus, thank you that your Holy Spirit not only gives us faith, but you keep us in his faith until life's end. Nobody can steal that from us. No illness, no authority, no government, no power. Nothing will ever separate me from the love of God in Jesus Christ. This day, at this moment, I put my hand in your hand. I give you all of myself, and I'm going to trust you to take me through the life and into heaven. I want to be part of your family. I want to be part of your flock. I will follow you. Thank you. The Lord is my shepherd. Amen.